Blog Talk Radio.
Above all, that makes you above all. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to see if our evangelist Renee is on or someone like to do a sandwich. We need that meal. So Renee said we need that sandwich every day. So at noontime, we like to get us a little snack. So we're going to have a word of prayer. And Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you first and foremost for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and whose we are and what we are. I thank you, Father God, that we are believers. We are your children, born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us of all our sins and washing us in your blood according to Ephesians 1 and 7. I thank you, Father God, because you have washed us in your blood, you've decreed and declared that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And for that reason, Father God, because we are new, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The newness represents the temple, Father God. Our temple, this body, is the temple for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father God, that you have delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into your mighty kingdom, according to Colossians 1 and 13. I thank you, Father God, for redeeming us from the curse of the law and the death. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, Father God. You have bought us. You paid for us, that we don't have to be part of that. And for that reason, Heavenly Father, you made us one with Christ. I thank you for it. You set us free, hallelujah. And because of that, Father God, Romans 8:37 said we are more than conquerors. Father God, we pray for our country today. We pray for America. And then we pray, Father God, that America will continue to look to you for guidance, for directions. I thank you, Father God, that we will, Congress, Senate, they all will look to you for direction, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to restore your presence in America. I thank you for it. We decree and declare it right now. Then, Father God, we will be a light for the entire world. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Then I ask you, Heavenly Father, to remember those that are on this broadcast, that are asking for prayer. We put ourselves in oneness with them, and we just praise you for it. And you said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church service. Anybody here, Father God, that's calling, we put ourselves in agreement with them based on the word of God. And these and all prayers and blessings we ask in Christ's name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, every day we do this little lunchtime lifter, little snack. There we ask Evangelist Renee if she'll give us a little lunchtime snack, and we'll call it a sandwich, and then we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah. Renee Johnson, Evangelist Renee Johnson from Ohio.
Good morning, everyone. God bless us all. I'm going to start with rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 5th chapter, 16th through the 18th verse. And the other piece of bread, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is became my salvation. Isaiah 12 chapter, can't see. 12th chapter, 2nd verse out of the King James. I just want to thank the Lord for his blessings. And I will continue to keep everyone in prayer, and ask that you keep me in prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. I appreciate that. That's a jam sandwich. We hit it together, and I thank God for that. Isaiah 12:2, and 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, for those that may not have gotten it. Okay, on yesterday, we've been talking about the law. Yes, the law is part of God's will. That he used that to get us to him. And we don't want to forget that. That's what we want to remember. The law was to get us to Christ. Please hear that like that. The law was to get us to Christ, okay? And after that, the Holy Spirit takes over and began to lead and guide and direct us, okay? Yesterday, we left off in Romans 7. And 7 through 14, so we'll go there. Evangelist Sharon, she's not able to be with us today, or she unavailable for reading. But however, we go on in the name of the Lord. And it says in Romans 7, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but the law, for it had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manners of, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Let me read 12th verse again. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made unto me, unto death? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know not that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin. And there it is again, brothers and sisters. We are spiritual. You have to know that. And you have to know that the law is spiritual. We are spiritual because we got born again. That's why we're not governed by the law of sin and death. But rather we governed by God's spiritual laws. I'm going to ask Pastor, she'll read Romans 7. 7th chapter, 7th verse through the 14th verse out of the Messenger Bible. Do I have, Pastor?
Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, you said Romans, the 7th chapter, 7 through 14?
Yes, 7 through the 14th verse,
7
chapter, 7 verse.
Okay, Pastor. Thank you. From the Message Bible. Without its clear guidelines for right and wrong moral behavior would be mostly from the surgical command, you shall not covet. I could have dressed covetousness up to look like a virtue and ruined my life with it. Don't you remember how it was? I do, perfectly well. The law code started out as an excellent piece of work. What happened, though, was that sin found a way to pervert the command into a temptation, making a piece of sin found a way. I'm sorry. Let me back up. What happened was that sin found a way to pervert the command into the temptation, making a piece of forbidden fruit out of it. The law code, instead of being used to guide me, was used to seduce me. Without all the paraphernalia of the law, sin looked pretty dull and lifeless, and I went along without paying much attention. But once sin got its hands on the law code and decked itself out in all the finery, I was fooled and fell for it. The very command that was supposed to guide me into life was cleverly used to trip me up, throwing me headlong. So sin was plenty alive, and I was stone dead. But the law code itself is God's good and common sense. Each command, sane and holy counsel. I can already hear your next question. Do that mean I can even trust? I can't even trust what is good? That is the law. Is good just as dangerous as evil? No. Again, sin simply did what sin is so famous for doing, using the good as a cover to tempt me to do what finally destroyed me. By hiding within God's good commandment, sin did far more mischief than it could ever have accomplished on its own. Amen.
Amen and amen. Listen, brother and sister, thank you so much, Pastor. It's so much in this. I really don't want to rush through it, but I'm going to take my time. He asked the question, what shall I say then?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you telling me that Moses' teaching, all the stuff that he taught us, is sinful?
Mm.
He said, no, man, don't even think like that. Don't
mm-hmm.
even go there. Matter of fact, if you really want to know the truth of the matter, you would know what sin is unless you had something to tell you what it is.
Okay.
Because you would just go on and you'd do a whole lot of things. You might go over there and be with your neighbor's wife. Unless you have something to say that you shouldn't do that, or you should do that. Because a lot of people, you know, they live on I feel good kind of stuff.
Have mercy. Mm-hmm.
And God said, well, wait a minute. What I did was not bad. So in Paul's writing, he come to realize what God was saying in this, that it was never wrong to have truth. It was never wrong to have righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start mm-hmm. desiring sinful things, Moses' teaching opened it up. And if he hadn't, nothing you ever did would have been wrong. So
mm-hmm.
he says, sin took the opportunity to provoke me or cause me. It took the occasion, he said, to put in my face and made
mm-hmm.
me desire what was wrong that would kill me. It's just confusing. So Paul
mm-hmm.
straightened us out by letting us know He made all kind of wrong desires. The human flesh made all kinds of wrong desires, even by the law. We had to clean it up. He says that now without, if I never had the law, the sin in me would have never came alive. But because I had the law, the sin in me caused me to die. Matter of fact, at one time, I was alive without the law. I was doing good, man. I was on it. But when I saw what the law said, once I saw what the law said, then that commandment became sin. So not really. It says, so sin became alive. He said, and then I died. But I found that in God's commandment, which was intended to bring me to life, actually brought me death. So sin, taking that opportunity now to provoke that the commandment that was made known to me deceived me, then it killed me. So Paul was in a real situation, I want to say paradox situation, to where he in that he got to now teach Moses' law. And Moses' law that he had got from God, remember now, it was holy. Remember, he was teaching the commandments, which was holy. He was teaching right living, which is holy. So all this right stuff called me to die. He said, you know what? Nah, God forbid. That ain't what happened. It took sin to recognize sin. Now, I don't know if y'all can get to this, but sin recognized sin. So if you never, if we never had that to tell us what standards we were or what standards there were, we would still be operating under a false sinful nature. Now, this also shows us the need to have Christ to come to wipe out those desires or those lusts. Because I like the way he said in the King James verse, man, I never knew it was lust without the law. See, the law made it real to me that that's lust. And I wouldn't have known that. I'd just been going about my daily. Now, let me say this to you, too, because I want you to know the law is good, brothers and sisters. But the law that you have in you is greater than what Moses was given. Greater. Yeah. It was a greater teacher because you became part of the Spirit now. And the Spirit, God's law is the Spirit. So the law of Christ, the law of Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, maybe we'll get into that another day because I want to really get into what we were saying. And that is that, see, Abraham had a covenant with God without the law.
All right.
See, and that's so important. Abraham did it 430 years before there was some law. He was living by the Spirit of God. That's what I want you to see, brothers and sisters. But Paul says that the covenant and promises made to Abraham, and I'm talking about in terms of years, the law was about 430 years behind what God, in front of what God had already dealt with Abraham. So God gave Abraham to his a way of salvation without the law. I'm going to get to this in a moment. I just want to make sure everybody understands. God had a path out, and this path was to live by faith.
All right.
By law. But the law was good to guide us and direct us. So, when you read scriptures like Galatians 3:17, which we'll read that, Galatians 3:17, and we're going to kind of like table Romans, because I need to go somewhere for a moment. But in Galatians 3, that's it, the 16th verse. Get Pastor to read that out of Messenger Bible as well. In the King James Version, it says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot be disannulled, that it should make the promise of non-effect."
Amen. From the Message Bible, this is the way I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled by attached 430 years later, thereby negotiating the promise of the will. No, its instruction and regulation has nothing to do with the promised inheritance in the will. Amen.
Yeah, see, God had made a promise to Abraham, and God keeps his promise. So what Paul's saying here is, this is what I mean, the law given to Moses 430 years after God had already put his promise out there.
Amen.
So God can't cancel it. Now, too late. God done put his word out there. He said he's going to do it for you. All you got to do is believe it. Stand on it. Walk in it.
Amen.
Believe it. Because if God gave it to you, spiritual. So God couldn't change this after he'd given it. So, see, the law was good. But it didn't affect what God had promised Abraham. Just like today, God's law, God promised doesn't affect you. Now, it tests you.
All right, now.
Let me make it real plain. We are living stones. We're being built into a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. Well, I don't care what the law says. This is true. That's what God's doing. Now, you can build all the wooden houses you want to. But it has nothing to do with what God's word has said. We are living stones.
Yeah.
And we've built up a spiritual house. So you can get all the brick mortar. It doesn't affect this, brothers and sisters. Because you are a chosen generation. You're part of a royal priesthood. I don't care who your mama was. I don't care who your daddy was. See, when you're spiritual, this stuff doesn't affect you. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:16, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God? His spirit dwells in you." How you going to change that?
Amen.
You forgot you're the apple of God's eye? You forgot that we was healed? By his stripes we're healed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That we're being changed into that image. The very image of Christ. See, so the law can't change those things. But is it good? Yes. What made it good? It directed us to Christ. It directed us to becoming a partaker of divine nature. It directed us in this area. And that's what you have to know, brother.
Amen.
And that's what. Did you read that? Well, I was going to have Pastor to read that again. If you could.
What is that, Pastor? Was that Peter?
No, that was Galatians. That last scripture you read.
Oh, Galatians. Get back over there.
Sorry about that.
No, no problem. This is the way I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled. And attached 430 years earlier, thereby negotiating the promise of the will, with its instruction and regulation, has nothing to do with the promised inheritance in the will. Amen.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome. Praise God.
It was confirmed before God in Christ. Hello, somebody. It was already confirmed before of God in Christ. It had already been confirmed 430 years. So the law, 430 years after, cannot be disannulled, the Bible says. That it should make the promise of God of non-effect. The matter. Christ paid the price, brothers and sisters, so that the blessings of Abraham could be made known unto us. It was for us.
Mm-hmm.
So God had already paid the debt before Abraham. Preach, preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Don't y'all see?
Amen.
The debt was already paid before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
God already knew this. That's why he already put things in place. He'd already did this. And he knew that in Christ was already risen when this promise was made. He'd already been crucified and risen before the promise was even made to Abraham, before the law was even given.
Amen. So, Pastor, can I read down a little further?
Sure.
What you was just saying, I'd like to share that from the Message Bible. It says,
it was a
thoughtful addition to the original covenant promise made to Abraham. The purpose of the law was to keep a sinful people in the way of salvation until Christ, the descendant, came, inheriting the promises and distributing them to us. Amen. Then it's a first-hand encounter with God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. How far you read down, Pastor?
That was 10 through the 20th verse. And that's Galatians 3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see, the law has purpose, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It kept us in that way until Christ came here. And once Christ got here, then we began to live by the Spirit of God. But something had to keep us that way.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
It was for the believers. It wasn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But there were several things the law could not do, and that it was weak. So there was a need for Christ. But it had to keep us in line with God. So God had us lining up, getting ready for this blessing that's in Christ. We never got lined up. Get to the knowledge of this, we wouldn't even be able to appreciate what God was doing through the man Christ.
Amen.
But I know we run it over, but I want to say this. because it's so, so important, brothers and sisters. It's so important. You keep your eyes on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your eyes that God has laid out for you.
Yes, yes.
See,
hallelujah.
The Abraham covenant, the promise of God, was first before the law was. And so just kind of remember that. We stopped at, you said that was verse, you went to through 20, right, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, 19 and 20.
Okay, I'm just going to go 17 through 20, just in case we end up going back. But well, one thing I needed to share, and then we'll be done. Because, so we did 18. In 16, I want to back up a minute. In 16, if you want to read that for us, Pastor, and then I want to have a word, and we'll be done.
Okay, 16. Excuse me. From the Message Bible. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one else can annul it or add to it. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendant. You will observe that scripture in the careful language of a legal document does not say to descendant, referring to everybody in general, but to your descendant, referring to Christ. Amen.
There you go. There you go. Now to Abraham and his seed. And let me say that again. To Abraham and his seed. You know who his seeds were? Those that walk with faith. Just make it real plain. I won't go through the lineage. I won't go through all of that. But it said, now to Abraham and his seed, just in case you don't know it, your seed of Abraham. His seed were the promise made, and said not to the seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So it's made to Christ. The seed was Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So God had to confirm it. He had to confirm it. So see, it was nowhere around it. Christ had to be born.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He had
to
fulfill this covenant. But I thank you all so much for that. Thank you, Pastor. And we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon. Stay blessed.
God bless.